B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Memches. We're going to start 13 lines from the top of the Omud. And we'll just recap. We saw in the previous Gemara a machlokes between Rabba and Rav Chisda. What happens if somebody cooks on Yom Tov for Chol, for a weekday after Yom Tov? Rabba says he doesn't get Malkus because we have a logic called Chol. Since if guests would arrive, then the food that was cooked or baked on Yom Tov would actually be served to the guests, and then it would be used on Yom Tov itself. Therefore, you cannot give him Malkus for baking or cooking like that. Rav Chisda does not use the logic of Hoyel, and therefore he says if you cook from Yom Tov for a weekday, he's going to be Chayev Malkus, because it's allowed to prepare to cook or bake or do things on Yom Tov for after Yom Tov. That was one machlekas. We had another machlekas, and that was in the Mishnah on Memzayin Omud Aleph, going on to Omud Beis. What do you do when you have a dough of tevel, that means a dough that is large enough to be chayev chala, and you have to separate the chala to give to a kohen? Unfortunately, the dough is tomei, so the kohen will not be able to eat it. Nobody can do anything with it. And the question is, it's now Yom Tov, it's Pesach, what do we do? On the one hand, we want to bake the rest of the dough to make matzahs out of it. And on the other hand, we have this piece of something which we have to separate, challah, that will not be able to be consumed on Yom Tov, or at all for that matter, because it's challah which is tomei. And either way, we're going to have a problem. If you separate this challah before baking, then the advantage of that is that everything that's being baked will actually be able to be eaten on Yom Tov. That's fine. But the part that you've separated is going to become chometz. You're not allowed to have chometz on Pesach. And if you don't separate it and you leave it in the dough while sticking it, then it will transpire that you've actually baked something that you cannot eat on Yom Tov, and that's also asa. So that was a machlekes, a three-way machlekes in the Mishnah, what to do. We had the first Tana was Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said that you should bake it before taking challah. And it's true that it's going to transpire, it's going to turn out that there's a part of what you've baked you're not going to be able to eat. And then what gave you permission to bake it? That's an issue. But he says, bake it as it is and only afterwards take off the challah. So we have no issue of chometz. That means the chometz issue bothered Rabbi Eliezer very much. And the fact that he's baking on Yom Tov something that you're not going to be able to eat on Yom Tov bothered him less. And then we had the opinion of Ben Becerra. Ben Becerra says, take the challah, separate it, and put it into cold water. And the cold water will stop it becoming chometz. And then you've got no issue with chometz, and you've got no issue with baking something you can't eat, and everything's taken care of. And then Rabbi Yeshua, who seems to be diametrically opposite to what Rabbi Eliezer said, Rabbi Yeshua says that you should separate the challah before, and not bake it, because Rabbi Yeshua obviously had much more of an issue with the baking something on Yom Tov that you will not be able to eat, more of an issue than he had with the fact that you've got a piece of dough which is called challah, which is going to become chometz. He had less of an issue with that. And the Gemara on Daf Mevav Amud Beis suggested two explanations regarding just the chometz issue, that Rabbi Eliezer held that the chometz was a real issue. If you separate challah and it becomes chometz, that's a problem. Rabbi Yeshua didn't have such an issue with it. So the Gemara explained the chometz part. First, the Gemara says the machlokes is where the toivas hanor momin, because really this piece of challah that's been separated doesn't belong to the owner at all. It belongs to the kohen. So there's a good reason he should not be chayev Bichlal for this type of chometz. There's no bal yoroya or bal yimotze on chometz that's not yours. However, there is something which is yours, and that is the ability to choose who to give it to. And that's even worth money, because somebody could actually pay you and say, I'll give you some money if you give your challah to a specific kohen. The question is, does that mean that the challah itself is mine on some level? And if it becomes chometz, it's like it's my chometz that became the chometz, my dough, and that's an issue. Or do we say no? Since the dough itself belongs to the kohen, then it's not considered your money, and there's no issue of chometz. So the Gemara said that was the machlokes. Rabbi Eliezer, who had an issue with it becoming chometz, he held tovas hanor momin, and Rabbi Shua held tovas hanor eini momin. And then the Gemara said, no, it could be everybody says tovas hanor is not momin, and they're actually arguing whether you say a logic called hoil. According to Rabbi Eliezer, there's a concept called since. Why? Because chometz, this challah, after separated the challah, you can actually undo that. It's called shaila. You can go to a chacham and say that this that I took off the challah, I separated it and dedicated it for challah, for a kohen, I want to undo that. And since I can undo it, then it will turn out retroactively that this piece of dough was mine and wasn't challah, wasn't the kohen's. And if it was mine and now it became chometz, this Baal Yeroyah. So since Rabbi Eliezer says there is a concept of hoyl, and hoyl could undo the challah and then the chometz would belong to the owners, therefore he said, make sure there's no chometz here, bake it all before it becomes chometz. How can you bake dough that you know that part of it is not going to be able to be eaten? That we're going to discuss in the Gemara today. And then the Gemara there said, and Rabbi Yeshua holds that we do not say hoyl, and once challah has become challah, it's going to stay challah for always. It's never going to become dough belonging to the owner, and if it's not going to belong to the owner, there's no Baal Yeroyah. And actually Rabbi Yeshua said at the end of the Mishnah that Loi zeu chometz shemuzhorin olov b'Baal Yeroyah b'Baal Yemotzeh. He said that chometz that doesn't belong to you, which means this piece of dough which belongs to the kohen, there's no Baal Yeroyah or Baal Yemotzeh. So that was the discussion we had in the Gemara and Daf Memvav Omud Beis. But the Gemara there only discussed the chometz. Do we say hoyl that the chometz will become again the owners or not? But how are we going to understand the issue with baking on Yom Tov? According to Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, we are baking a dough, even though part of that dough is afterwards going to become challah and is not going to be able to be eaten. It's tummy. No one's going to be able to eat it. How can you bake it? Rabbi Shua says, indeed, you're not allowed to bake it. He says, first take off the challah, then leave that aside, don't bake it, and only bake what you can eat. So that's fine. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, we have an issue with that. And that is going to be the discussion of the Gemara now. Says the Gemara, Omar Romi Bar Choma, Hodr of Chizda v'Rabba, that machlekes that we saw before between Rav Chizda and Rabba as to whether there is a logic called hoyel or not, is actually machlekes Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua hi. And that is the machlekes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua as to whether you're allowed to bake a dough, even though part of it you will not be able to eat, are you allowed to bake it on Yom Tov, is also dependent on hoyel. Rabbi Eliezer Sovar Omrin on hoyel. Rabbi Eliezer says you say hoyel, because the rule is on Yom Tov that a whole loaf that you're not going to eat, you're not allowed to bake. But if you have a loaf that some of it you're going to eat, you're actually allowed to bake the whole loaf, even though part of it you're not going to eat. And so Rabbi Eliezer says that there's a hoyl. That means we know that in actual fact, and that was the common practice, that if you have a whole bunch of loaves that you're baking, that you're going to take one whole loaf and that will be the challah for all the dough, and all the other loaves you can eat. However, there is the possibility that you take on every single loaf, you just take off a small piece in the corner and say that's challah, and the rest of the loaf you can eat. So Rabbi Eliezer says, the reason I'm allowing you to eat, to bake the whole dough on Yom Tov, even though I'm going to have to separate challah, which I will not be able to eat, is because of hoyl. Since I could take challah from every little piece, from every dough separately, and from every loaf separately, sorry, and since every single loaf, most of it I'll be able to eat, then that allows me to bake all the loaves. And that's why Rabbi Eliezer says, you can bake the whole dough. Rabbi Shua Sovar, Lo Yomrin on Hoyl. Rabbi Shua says, you don't say since. And since we know that the custom is, the normal way of doing it, is to separate a whole loaf as challah for the whole dough, and therefore you have a whole loaf that you're not going to eat, and you're not allowed to bake it. And that's why Rabbi Shua says that you first separate the challah from the dough before baking it, and only then you bake the rest. So that is what Romi Bar Choma suggested, that the Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua regarding baking all the loaves on Yom Tov is also a Machlokes whether you say Hoyl and you don't say Hoyl. Omer of Papa, Rav Papa says that there's, and we're going to see now two opinions. We have Rav Papa and Rav Shisha, and they're both going to say that it could be that Rabba and Rav Chisda are not exactly arguing in the same as Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. It could be that one case is a more serious type of hoyel than the other, a different type of hoyel, and therefore saying hoyel or not saying hoyel in one case would not automatically determine that you say hoyel or don't say hoyel in the other case. Let's see inside. Omer Rav Papa. Rav Papa says no. Rav Papa says that it's true that Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah, it could well be you don't say hoyel. Okay, he says you don't say hoyel, and therefore you're not allowed to bake that challah dough on Yom Tov. Separate the challah before baking. However, Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you say hoyel, it could be that he only says hoyel in the case of the Mishnah that we discussed with the dough that after you bake it, you're going to take a piece of challah off. That's allowed because it's an easier type of hoyel. But in the case of baking from Shabbos for weekday, the case where Rav Chisda and Rabbah were arguing, it could be there he's going to agree to Rav Chisda that you don't say hoyel. What's the difference between baking from Shabbos, from Yom Tov to Hoyel, where you need a Hoyel that there's going to be guests, and in the case of the Mishnah, where you have a Hoyel that I could separate challah from every single loaf separately, there's a very fundamental difference. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer only says Hoyel in the case of the Mishnah, the Omrin on Hoyel, Elo Be'idna, only in the case to Ka'ayli Letanura Kol Choda V'choda Chazyalei Ledidei. Because it could be that every single loaf, as you're putting the loaf into the oven, this single loaf, I could, even though we know, even in the event that indeed one whole loaf is not going to become, is not going to be edible, and you're going to separate a whole loaf for challah, but any single loaf that I put into the oven, even without using hoyel, any single loaf, I could say, this loaf is not going to be that loaf that I'm going to dedicate as challah afterwards. And since I'm not designating this for challah, this loaf is mine. I'm allowed to put it into the oven. And he can do that with every single loaf. That means potentially every single loaf is fit for to be eaten on Yom Tov. Aval Hocha, however, here in the case of Rabba and Rav Chisda, that the person himself has finished eating. He cannot eat anymore. And it's Yom Tov. Why are you baking? I'm baking for tomorrow. What's the hoyel? Hoyel that guests might come. Well, aval hocha de la urchin hu de chozi, he can't eat anymore. He's full up. He's got no space to eat anymore in his stomach. And the only people that will still be able to eat, even with hoyel, are guests that you haven't even invited yet. And but for him, ledidei loy chozi. Eima hocha nami de la umrin on hoyel. It could be that Rabbi Eliezer would say that in a case where for the person himself he cannot eat on Yom Tov, there we don't say hoyel. Just in the case of maybe uninvited guests are going to arrive, that's not a good enough hoyel in our Mishnah. Of course you can say hoyel, because every single loaf potentially could be edible for the person who's baking it. And therefore, even though Rami Bar Choma suggested that Rabbi Eliezer holds, like Rabba, that we say hoyel, Rav Papa says no. It could be in the case of Rabba and Rav Chisda, he actually follows Rav Chisda that you don't say hoyel. Omer Rav Shisha, Berei Deravidi. Rav Shisha Berei Deravidi has a different type of refutation against Rami Bar Choma. You, Rami Bar Choma, assumed that Rabbi Yeshua always says that you don't say hoyel. Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah says, don't bake that piece of challah. First separate the challah and then bake the rest of the dough. Because we assumed you don't say hoyel, that since I could have taken off a little piece of challah from every loaf, and therefore every loaf would be allowed to be baked, he doesn't say hoyel. And so we assumed, Rami Bar Choma assumed, that he holds like Rav Chisda that you don't say hoyel. Says now Rav Shisha, Breder of Idi, no. V'dilma loyhi adkan loik omer Rabbi Yeshua hosom. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua only says that you don't say hoyel in the case of our Mishnah, Hosom deloy amrin on hoyel, elo de ikka choda deloy chozi, loy ledidei veloy leurchin. In the case of the Mishnah, it's true that you could say hoyel, but bottom line, you know that you're going to take a whole loaf and make it challah. And you know that's the custom, that's the normal way of doing it. And since you know that there's going to be a single loaf that nobody in the world is going to be able to eat, we don't say hoyel. And that's why he says in the Mishnah, first separate the challah and then bake the rest. Aval hocha, but in the case of Rabban Rav Chisda, on baking from Yom Tov to Chol, the chazi mios la'urchin, in the event that guests would arrive, then the guests would be able to eat everything that's been baked on Yom Tov. Maybe in that case he agrees to Rabba that you do say hoyl. So you have here of Papa and of Shisha that both have an argument against Rami Bar Choma, who assumed that Rabban Rav Chisda and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua have the same opinion. That means we're arguing in the same point. Continues the Gemara. Amrua Rabbonon Kameder of Yirmiya Verabzera. This that Rami Bar Choma said that the machleikus between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua is identical to the machleikus Rabban Rav Chisda, something that was just debated by Rav Papa and Rav Shisha. This statement from Rami Bar Choma was said in front of Rabbi Yirmiya and Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiya kibla. Rabbi Yirmiya accepted this statement of Rami Bar Choma. Rabbi Zeira lo kibla. Rabbi Zeira didn't accept it. Maybe we don't know why. Let's see. We know that Rav Papa didn't accept it. We know that Rav Shisha didn't accept it. And now we see Rav Zeira didn't accept it. Omele Rav Yirmiya le Rav Zeira. Rav Yirmiya said to Rav Zeira, Milsa de Kashilon. We've had this difficulty all along. That how did you want to explain Rav Eliezer that says that you are not allowed to first separate the challah and then bake the rest? Because we had a chometz issue. Because he holds Toivas Hanor Mominhu. And since Toivas Hanor Momin, that means that even after you've separated this dough, it somewhat still belongs to you. And if it's going to become chometz, you're going to transgress Bali Roi and Bali Motze. So you're not allowed to separate the challah first. So what did Rabbi Eliezer say? Rabbi Eliezer says, bake the whole thing and take challah later. Okay, so you've taken care of the chometz issue. But all the years we didn't understand that even though you've taken care of the chometz issue, you're not allowed to bake on Yom Tov something you cannot eat on Yom Tov. And putting the whole dough into the oven on Yom Tov when you know full well that there's one loaf that is going to become challah and you're not going to be able to eat it, that's seriously asa. And there's a difference between the issa of chometz and the issa of baking on Yom Tov, because the issa of chometz, if you separate this challah, it's not yet chometz. It's going to become chometz on its own by doing nothing. Just leaving it, it's going to become chometz. However, actually placing the dough into the oven and baking it is a forbidden act that you're doing on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to do that. So we never understood Rabbi Eliezer that he's taken care of the chometz issue, which is Sheva Al Taiser, and he hasn't taken care of the Yom Tov issue, which is a kumvaseh, which is an act that he's doing that he's not allowed to be doing. And all the years we didn't understand it, came Rami Bar Choma and says, I'll explain it to you, that the reason that Rabbi Eliezer allows you to bake it is because he holds of hoyl. He says, since you could have taken a little bit of challah from each loaf separately, therefore you have permission to bake all the loaves. You say a logic of hoyl. And so Rabbi Yirmiya said, finally Rami Bar Choma has explained to us, Rabbi Eliezer, how can you, Rabbi Zeira, refute it? How can you argue with it? Omele Rabbi Yirmiya le Rabbi Zeira, Milsa de Kashilon, Va'asyo Kamashonia, for many years we had an issue with it. But my pligi Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, what is Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua arguing about? What's the point of their argument that Rabbi Eliezer allows them to bake something on Yom Tov, even though you know that part of it is not going to be able to be eaten? Hashta Amrua Mishmei de Gavra Rabba, and now they've had a good explanation in the name of a great person, Rami Bar Choma, V'loi Nekabla, we're not going to accept it. Omalei Rav Zeira said to Rabbi Yirmiya, Heicha Akabla, I'd love to accept it, but I can't. Why? De Tanina, because I have a Braisa. Omalei Rabbi Yeshua, that we have another Braisa, that Rabbi Yeshua actually asked Rabbi Eliezer, Lidvorecha, according to you, Rabbi Eliezer, that you, Rabbi Eliezer, say that Toiva Sano is Momin, and therefore you don't want it to become chometz, and you allow them to put the whole dough into the oven, you're not allowed to bake on Yom Tov something which is not going to be edible on Yom Tov. And we've discussed previously why the Gemara quotes a posuk, lo sasi kol melocha, which is a posuk speaking about Shabbos, not Yom Tov, but it's clearly also to bake on Yom Tov. If you can't eat it on Yom Tov, so he's asked the kasha. V'shosik clear, Rabbi Eliezer actually didn't answer him. V'hi asya, if Rami Bar Choma is right, leimele, why did Rabbi Eliezer not answer to Rabbi Yeshua? Tamadidi, the reason that I allow you to bake the whole dough, mishum hoyl, because of hoyl. Since The logic of since. What's the since? Since I could have taken challah from every single loaf, a little piece, and then I have permission to bake every loaf, that's why I allow you to bake the whole dough. Omar Lay. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu said to Rabbi Zeira, Ulatam Meich, according to you, Rabbi Zeira, that you didn't want to accept what Rami Bar Chama said because you have such a braisa, and I'm going to ask a question on you as well. Had Tanina Bebraisa. We have another braisa. Omar Lay Rabbi Eliezer. The Rabbi Eliezer actually asked Rabbi Yeshua a question. Ledvarecha, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that you first separate the dough and you just bake the rest. Harayu Oivar Mishum Bali Ra'o Bali Motze. The little piece of dough that you've taken off for challah, you're going to transgress Bali Ra'o and Bali Motze. Vashosikle. And Rabbi Yeshua didn't answer. Hachanami Deloya Hodere? Are you also going to suggest that from his silence, from the fact that he didn't answer, means that he changed his mind and he agrees that you're not allowed to do that? Hakom Hadalei B'Masnisin, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua explained, there's no issue of Bali Ra and Bali Motze on this piece of dough because it's not yours, it belongs to the Kohen. Like we saw in the Mishnah, that Lo Yizeu Chomus Shemuzharin Olav B'Bali Ra B'Bali Motze. As we saw, we learned from the Pasuk, Shelecho Yatoroya, Aval Atoroya Shelachirim V'Shel Gavoya. So how do you explain the silence in the Braisa? In the Braisa he was silent. And in the Mishnah he answered. So too says Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Maybe in one Braisa Rabbi Eliezer didn't answer Rabbi Yeshua why there was no problem of baking it on Yom Tov, and it could well be that in a different braisa, one that we don't have, Rabbi Eliezer explained to Rabbi Yeshua, the reason you're allowed to bake it is because I say hoil. And therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyahu says to Rabbi Zeira, you don't have a good reason not to accept what Rami Bar Chama suggested. Continues the Gemara. Tanya, we learnt in a braisa, Rabbi Omer Alocha Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi says the Alocha is like Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah, that you bake the whole dough of, even though it's challah, it's a dough of tomei, and part of it is going to become challah tomei, bake the whole thing, and then separate the challah afterwards. Rabbi Yitzchak Omar Aloch Ben Basira. Rabbi Yitzchak argues with the Rabbi, and says that Aloch is actually like Ben Basira, who says that you should separate the challah, and put it into cold water, preventing it from becoming chometz. Continues the Gemara. V'kamo Shiur Isa. How large is the largest amount of dough that you're allowed to knead on Pesach, where we know that it's small enough that we can be sure that it will not become chometz? If you have a dough that's too big, and the time you're working with it, and it's waiting around to be kneaded, and then to be nerach, to be shaped, and then to be put into the oven, and the waiting around for such a big dough, you can be sure it's going to become chometz. So how large is the dough allowed to be that we know that we're not taking such a risk? So b'shmol b'noi shrab yechanon ben baroika oimer. And before we see inside, we're going to have to realize as follows. There are two types of grains that we're talking about here. We're talking about chitin, wheat, and sa'irin, which is barley. In each type, we're talking about the more quality type, which becomes chometz quicker, and you have the bad type, the cheaper type, the less good quality grains, and they take longer to become chometz, which means that from the lesser quality grains, one should be able to bake a larger dough without taking a risk of it becoming chometz. So Rabbi Yechonon, the Rabbi Shmuel ben Yishai Rabbi Yechonon ben Bereika Omer, b'chitin kabin. In the case of chitin, you're allowed to make a dough of 2 kav of grains. Ubesairin, however, with barley, which is a weaker, which is type of dough, and according to Rabbi Shmuel, it takes longer for barley to become chometz than for wheat to become chometz, and therefore barley is shleishes kabin. 3 kav is allowed, you're allowed to make dough from 3 kav. Rabbi Nosson Omer. Rabbi Nosson argues with Rabbi Shmuel, Meshum Rabbi Eliezer, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, Chiluf Hadvarim. He says exactly the opposite. He says that with Chitin, you can have 3 kav, because Rabbi Nosson, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, holds that Chitin actually take longer to become chometz, and it's harder to become chometz than Sa'irim. And therefore, with Chitin, you can have 3 kav, and with Sa'irim, you can only have 2 kav. That was the machlekes, and they didn't yet tell us, is this talking about the good quality or the bad quality grains? Now the Gemara is asking a contradiction. V'tanya Rabbi Shmuel b'noish Rabbi Yechon b'mbereika Omer, b'chitin Shloshes Kabin, we have another brisa. We don't have Reb Nosson and Reb Eliezer here. We only have Rabbi Shmuel. And Rabbi Shmuel here says that with Chitin, you're allowed to have three kav. We'll remember in the previous brisa, Rabbi Shmuel said with Chitin, you can only have two kav. Ubesoirin and with Soirin, arba kavin. That even though we saw in the previous brisa that Soirin with barley is three kav, hey, it says four kav. Says the Gemara Loikasha. It's not a question. Ho, the second brisa, which has a larger amount, is bechasichto, is talking about the lower quality grains. And ho, but the first brisa, which is the lesser amount, is bemalyos, is talking about the better quality grains. They become chometz quicker, and therefore less dough should be made in order to make sure it doesn't become chometz. Omer of Papa. And Rav Papa made an interesting mathematical observation. Shema mino, if you look at the numbers, you'll notice that regarding chitin, the good quality ones is 2 kav, bad quality ones is 3 kav, which means that just an extra third, it means a third of the 3, it means it went from 2 to 3. However, with Sa'irin, it went from 3 to 4. So Rav Papa says that from here you see that Geri'in chita chasichta mechita me'aliyasa, that the gap, that means the difference between the good and the bad grains of wheat, Atfei, a larger, is a bigger difference than midgrin sa'ara chasichta misare malyosa. That means bad quality wheat is much worse than the good quality wheat, than bad quality sa'irin is than good quality sa'irin. Because the ratio between good and bad, that means the dough that you can make from good and bad quality grains of wheat, is 2 to 3. But with sa'irin, it's 3 to 4. De'ilu hosom tilsa. In the case of the chitin, it's just a third, which means 3 of bad quality, 2 of good quality, just a third less. V'hacha, but with the sa'irin, river, it's a quarter. It's less, it's only a quarter, which means 4 of the bad quality, 3 of the good quality. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rav, kava milugno, a single kav in the place of milugno, lepischa, that was as much dough as they would make in the place called Mulugna. They wouldn't make a dough bigger than this on Pesach in fear that it would become chometz. V'chein lechala, and the measure of such dough, of one kav in Mulugna, that was as much dough as you need to be chayev to take chala. Asks the Gemara, V'otanya, did we not learn in the Mishnah, chameshes revoin kemach v'oid chayovim b'chala, that to be chayev chala, you need 1.8 kav of dough. How can you say over here it's just one kav? Hachi ka'omar, kav melugnoi nami ahai shi'urakoi. A kav in melugnoi was a typical 1.8 kav that we know is chayev chala, and is to do with the changing of definition of kav. Initially, in the Midbar, it was 1.8 kav, and it developed, and in the place of Mulugnoi, where we were left was a single kav. In Mulugnoi was 1.8 kav that was chayev in chala. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Yosef. Hana noshi didan. Our women, that means the women in our culture, nog lemefa kafizo kafizo lepesach. Their custom was not to bake more than a kafizo, which is just 3/4 of a kav. It's 3 lugin, 3/4 of a kav of dough on Pesach. Lepischa, in fear that it would become chometz. Omale Abaya. Abaya said to Rav Yosef, "Mai datich lechumra? Is this supposed to be like this chumra to make sure that you have so little dough that it shouldn't become chometz? It's true, it's a chumra that it shouldn't become chometz, but it's a chumra to osi lidei kula. But this chumra is actually going to bring an unasked for leniency. Osi lidei kulahu, deko mafkalei michala. If you just make a small amount of dough, if the dough is too small, it's not a serious ha'efa, then you're potter, you're exempt from taking chala. Taking chala is a mitzvah. And making them make doughs in such small measures, you're going to exempt them from this mitzvah of challah. Omale, so Yosef answered to Abaya that even though the doughs themselves are too small to be required to take challah, but we're going to see that there's a way of actually becoming chayev in challah at a later stage when it's no longer a dough, even though it's been baked. How is that? The Ovdon Rabbi Eliezer, they would do like Rabbi Eliezer said. The Tani we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Haroide, if somebody takes, separates, removes the breads from the oven, V'noison l'sal, and he just puts it into a basket. Hasal Matsarfon l'chala, even though till the doughs that each individual dough was not large enough to be chayev chala, if all the breads that have been removed and already been baked are removed from the oven and put into a basket, and now within this basket you have enough breads that have the measure that would be chayev chala, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're chayev chala. So Rav Yosef said to Abaya, they would need small doughs. After it was baked, they would put all these breads, the chalas, what we call the matzahs, sorry, they would put all these matzahs into a basket, and then they would be chayev chala. So it's not a chumra, the osi l'day kula. V'omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rav Eliezer. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel actually ruled halachas like Rav Eliezer, that sal matzarf on the basket combines all the loaves to be chayev chala. Omar le, ho'it ma'alo. So Abaya said to Rav Yosef, it doesn't help. Did we not say that the Omer Bishua ben Levi loishonu elokikros shel bovel shenoishchois zumizum? Did Rav Yosef ben Levi not say that Rav Eliezer only says that a basket will combine them if there's an added condition as well? And that is that the doughs were noishchois, they were biting each other, which means that they were wide and round, and they were baked, and they actually got stuck to each other to the point that if you would separate them, then they would pull away from each other. Only when you have a large enough dough that they're all biting each other, and you put them into a basket, then indeed the basket will be chayev. Even though when you kneaded the dough, each dough was not the right size, but if in the oven they all touched each other and they became stuck to each other, all biting each other, and you put them into a basket afterwards, then you're chayev chala. But over here, that you didn't put into the oven more than 3/4 of a kav, then they're not going to bite each other because you haven't got more than that in the oven at all. And if so, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, putting them into the basket, avil kochin, but long and narrow loaves, or in this case where you only baked a very small measure, they didn't bite each other at all, in that case, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, it doesn't help to put them into a basket. So then it is a chumra da'os yiridei kula, answers the Gemara. It's true that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that according to Rabbi Eliezer, tzir of sal is only if this measure of breads are biting each other. But Rav Chanina argues with that. Rav Chanina says even long and narrow loaves, which are not biting each other, just putting them into the basket is mitzar of them. And therefore, even in this case, Rav Yosef says it's not a kula. Boy Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah now asked, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that the basket combines all the loaves to make them chayev chala. What happens if it's not like a typical basket, that the walls of the basket are going all the way up, surrounding all the loaves? What happens if you put all the loaves on a tavla, on a board, on a shelf? She'ein lo levazvin, it doesn't have a rim. There's no rim that's actually holding the loaves. Mahu, what's the halacha? According to Rabbi Eliezer, Toich klipa inon, does it have to be on the inside? It has to be contained by a vessel, and here there is no inside, it's just a flat shelf. V'holeka, and you haven't got that, and there will not be tziruf and will not be chayev chala. Oy dilmor, maybe. Avir klipa inon, all you need is the airspace of something we could call a vessel, and since it's on a shelf, anything above it is considered its airspace. V'ho'ika, and you've got the airspace, and it will be mitztarif. That was the question Rabbi Yirmiyah asked. Take who the Gemara said we have to let that stand. We have no way of resolving that. Continues the Gemara. Tani we saw in the Braisa. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer Hasal Mitzarfon. Rabbi Eliezer says that putting loaves into a basket, the basket itself combines them and it makes them be chayev chala. Rabbi Shua Oimer Tanur Mitzarfon. Rabbi Shua says that even if you didn't put them in a basket, but they were all in the same oven at the same time, then just being in the oven is already enough to combine them. They should be chayev chala. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer Kikris shel bovel shenoishchoi zum izum etzarfois. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that loaves that, and only if they are biting each other, which means they're actually stuck to each other, whilst they were getting baked, they got stuck to each other, then they are mitzdarfes, they combine for shiur chala. But if they're not actually biting each other, then they are not mitzdarf. Continues the next Mishnah. Rabban Gamliel Oimer, and this Mishnah is continuing the theme that we've seen previously. What precautions did they take to make sure that there would not be too much dough lying around waiting to be needed, wait, or it was already needed, but waiting to be shaped and waiting to be baked, that we're taking too much of a risk of them becoming chometz? So Rabban Gamliel's got quite a lenient opinion, and he says that shalosh noshim loshes ka'achas. If you, in the olden days they had very small ovens, and a woman would be able to knead as much dough that would actually fill up a whole oven. So if you have three women who are all kneading their doughs at the same time, then we know for sure they will not be able to go into the oven at the same time. And when the first person, the first woman's dough is being baked, the other two are just going to be hanging around waiting. And the third one is going to be waiting for the first two to finish baking before she can bake hers. Nonetheless, Rabbi Gamliel said, Shalosh Noshim, it's okay for three women, loshois ka'achas, to knead their doughs at the same time, v'oifois betanur echod, and they can bake their doughs in a single tanur, in a single oven, ze achar ze, one after the other. And the Mishnah is soon going to tell us what to do in the event that they see that it's starting to swell and there's a risk of it becoming chometz, what they would do to stop that. The Chachomim would be more stringent and they would say no. We cannot have three women who are all kneading at the same time, but you can have three women, shalosh noshim, oiskois, that are all occupied, bebotzeik, with their doughs, ka'achas, at the same time. And we're going to see in the Gemara, we're going to see a braisa exactly how this works, but very briefly, the Mishnah is saying, achas losho, one of them will be kneading, v'achas ireches, and one of them will be shaping the dough, preparing it to be baked, v'achas oifa, and the third one would be baking. But they wouldn't be doing the same job simultaneously. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, loy kol anoshim, v'loy kol ha'etzim, v'loy kol ha'tanoirim shovim. And this is actually Rabbi Akiva questioning Rabbi Gamliel. How can you, Rabbi Gamliel, say that any three women are allowed to knead at the same time, and we're not taking a risk of the doughs becoming chometz? Not all women are as energetic as each other, and some women, just waiting a little bit longer, working on the dough, supervising it, making sure it doesn't become chometz, and taking precautions to stop it becoming chometz, some women will be capable of doing that, others not. V'loy kol ha'etzim, not all woods are similar. You have some woods that are very dry, they burn quickly, they burn well. Others are not so dry, they don't burn, they're not so hot. Loi kol ha'tanurim shovim, not all ovens are as good as each other. Some get very hot and bake very quickly. Others are cooler, they take longer to bake. Zeh haklal, the rule is, tofach, if you see that the dough is starting to swell up and there's a risk of it becoming chometz, tiltoish betzeinon, they should moisten their hands with cool water and moisten the dough, keeping the dough very cool, and that will stop the dough from becoming chometz. Says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. Now we have a braisa that's going to explain the opinion of the Chachomim in more detail. The Chachomim said, Shalosh noshim oiskois bevotzeik achas, that three women are allowed to be occupied with their doughs at the same time, but not all doing the kneading at the same time. How did that work? And we're going to have woman number one, number two, and number three. So number one, he mekatefes. Number one is losho. Sorry. The first one is going to knead her dough when the other two are doing nothing. They haven't started yet. That's going to happen first. Next stage, he, number one, mekatefes, shapes the dough that she's finished kneading. And now, while she's doing that, v'chaverto, number two, losho tachter, in her place, is going to knead her dough. What's happening next? Number one, that was mekatefes, he oifa. Now it's her time to put her matzahs into the oven. The chaverto number two, mekatefes tachteo, is going to be shaping the dough. Vashlishis, and number three, losho, will start kneading. What happens next? Oifa, number one, that's finished baking, he losho, she can start kneading her next dough. The chaverto number two, Oifa tachteo, is now her turn to put the bread, her matzahs, into the oven. her first batch of matzahs into the oven. Vashlishis, and number three, mekatefes, it's her turn now to shape the breads. V'choizra is chalila, and it goes round in a rotation. This way, the word chalila is like a mechoil, it goes round. And this is how they take turns. When one is kneading, the other one is shaping. When they're kneading and shaping, the other one is baking. So you're never going to have a situation where there's dough just lying there waiting to be baked. Kolzman she'oiskeis v'botzeik, all the while that they are actually occupied with the dough, either kneading it or shaping it, ein ebali de chimotz, it will not become chometz. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva oimer loy kol anoshim v'chulu. Rabbi Akiva said that there's no rule, and you can't make a rule because not all women are the same, not all woods are the same, and not all ovens are the same. Tanya, we saw in a brisa, Omer Rabbi Akiva, Danti lifnei Rabbi Gamliel. I actually was in a discussion with Rabbi Gamliel, and I asked him, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, Master, my Rebbe, teach us. Benoshim zrizois, oy benoshim she'enon zrizois. When you said your rule, Rabbi Gamliel, that three women are allowed to even knead at the same time, is that only talking about very energetic women, or even less energetic women? Be'etzim lachim, oy be'etzim yuveshim. Was it only talking about woods that are very dry and therefore burn well, or maybe even not? Betanur cham, oy betanur tzoinon. Was it only with a very hot oven, or even not such a hot oven? Omerli, Rabbi Gamliel said to Rabbi Akiva, "Ein lecho elo ma sheshonu chachomim. I only know one rule. Zeh klal. The rule is, as we saw at the end of the Mishnah, tofach. If you see the bread starting to swell, tiltosh betzoinon, you should moisten the dough with some cold water, and that's enough. That's the rule. The chachomim didn't tell us more than that. Therefore, Rabbi Gamliel says, I can't stop. I'm not going to stop three women kneading at the same time. Just they should make sure that if it starts swelling, that they should dampen it with cold water." Continues the next Mishnah. Siyor Yisorif. Siyor is a stage where a dough is becoming chometz. It's not yet, we'll soon see exactly what stage it is. It's not yet completely chometz, but it's becoming chometz. You're not allowed to eat it. Yisorif, you even have to burn it. But this is a type of a chometz noiksha, a chometz which is not ready edible so much, people wouldn't eat it, and therefore you have to burn it, but if you actually do eat it, there's no chorus. Va'oichle potor, there's no malchus and no chorus. That's the stage called siyor. Sidoik. However, the stage called sidoik, sidoik means a crack. When the dough starts becoming cracked, then it's already the next stage. Yisorif, then not only does it have to be burnt, but va'oichle, if somebody eats it, chayev chorus is actually going to be chayev chorus. And now the big question is, what's the stage of Siyor and what's the stage of Sidoik? So the truth is that the way chometz happens, and there's no machlekas that this is the way it happens. First, the dough becomes pale before it starts cracking. After, and that's called Hichsifu Ponov. The surface becomes pale. The next stage that happens is that it becomes cracked with little cracks similar to the antennae of a locust. Little cracks, but the cracks themselves are not actually interlaced. Just you see lots of little cracks. The next stage of becoming chometz is where all these cracks actually interlace into each other, and that's the third stage. Now, that's all we see on the surface. There's a good chance that even in the middle stage, where you just see some lone cracks here and there on the surface, it could be that underneath the surface, the cracks have already become interlaced. We'll see that in the Gemara. But either way, the question is, everybody agrees that in stage 3, where the cracks are all interlaced, that's definitely chometz gomur. And everybody agrees that when the surface has just become paled, it's definitely not chometz gomur. The question is, how do we separate this? So there's one opinion that says that when the face of the surface of the dough is just pale, minatayr it's matzah, you can eat it on Pesach. Midrabanon, they said you shouldn't, but if it's pale, it's not chometz. If it's got just a few cracks, then it's siyor. When it has many cracks and the cracks are interlaced, then it's chometz gomor. That's one opinion. There's another opinion that says no. When it's pale, that's when it's siyor. When it has just a few cracks, it's already chometz gomor. And then obviously when It has many cracks. Of course, it's Chometz Gomor, but even when it just has a few cracks that are not yet interlaced, it's already Chometz Gomor. And that's going to be a Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim in the Mishnah, and it's also going to be a Machlokes Chachomim and Rav Meir in the Braisa. So what does it say in the Mishnah? With Eze Usir, what's the stage, and this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what's the stage where it's Sir, where it's Yisorif, where it's Chometz, where it's, you have to burn it, but it's not Chometz Gomor, and you don't get chorus. Kekarni chagovim, if there's only just a few cracks, like the antennae of locusts, that is siur, it's not yet Chometz Gomor. Siduk, what's the stage of Siduk, which is Chometz Gomor, according to Rabbi Yehuda? Shenis arvus dokim zeh bezeh, that's when the cracks are interlaced into each other. Divi Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachomim say, and in the Braisa it's going to become apparent, this is actually the opinion of Reb Meir. Any type of siduk, even if it's just got a few cracks, it's already chometz and you chayev koros. What's the stage of siyer that you have to burn and is not chayev koros? Ezeu siyer kol sheikh sifu ponov, when the surface of the dough became pale, that's the earlier stage. Ka'odom she'omdu sarisov, like a person when he's in fear and his hair stands on end, then his face becomes pale. So when the dough becomes pale, that's when it's seir. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the seir stage, that means not the seir stage, the stage of just being pale is not called chometz at all. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon. Ezo, that means let's just read the last few words of the Mishnah again. Ve'ezu seir kol shechsif uponav ka'odom she'omdu sarosav, like a person whose hair stands on edge. Tanu Rabbanon, says the Gemara, we learnt in a Braisa. Ezu seir, this is the opinion of the Chachomim in the Mishnah, and here it's going to be Reb Meir. Ezu seir, what's the stage of seir? Kol shechsif uponav, as long as the surface of the dough became pale, ka'odom sh'omdu sarosav, like a person in fear, when his hair stands on end, his face is pale. Siduk, what's the stage of siduk, which is chayev koros, according to Reb Meir? Kekarni chagovim, if it just has those few cracks, like the antennae of a locust, that's called siduk. Divi Reb Meir, that's the opinion of Reb Meir, it was the same as the chachomim in the Mishnah. The Chachomim Oimrim, the Chachomim here in the Braisa, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, Ezu Seir, what's called Seir that you Chayev Koros? Kekarni Chagovim, when you have the, not that you're not Chayev Koros, Ezu Seir that you have to burn it, you're not Chayev Koros, Kekarni Chagovim, that is if it's got just a few cracks. Siduk, what's the stage of Siduk that you chayev koros? Shenis arvus dokim zeh bezeh, when all these cracks are interlaced into each other, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's called the chometz gomor. And here the Braisa is going to say something we're not really going to understand. Vezeh ha'oichlon chayev koros. Either way, it doesn't matter it would seem that what he means is, it doesn't matter if it's got just karni chagovim, if it's got a few cracks, or if the cracks are all interlaced, in both cases it's chometz gomor and yuchayev koros. That means, when we said ezu siyoir is kagarni chagovim, and siduik, shenis arvus dokim zeh bezeh, yuchayev koros for both, asks the Gemara, v'anantanan, did we not learn in the Mishnah, that siyoir yisori v'oichle potur, div Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda held, Rabbi Yehuda said, and the opinion of the Chachomim in the Braisa is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, that you only ever chayev koros for siduik, not for seir. How can you say zeh v'zeh chayev koros? Says the Gemara, you know what the zeh v'zeh chayev koros? Eima l'Reb Meir, according to Reb Meir. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no such thing as the dough becoming pale. That's not a stage in chometz. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the first stage in chometz, which indeed you're not chayev koros, according to Rabbi Meir, is just cracks, few cracks. When is it chayev koros? When the cracks are all interlaced. According to Rabbi Meir, that siyur is when the surface of the dough becomes pale, then siduik, it makes no difference if it's a few cracks or many cracks, you're chayev koros. So what it means is, zeh v'zeh, L'Rab Meir, zeh v'zeh, either type, according to Rabbi Yehuda, which means Rabbi Yehuda's seir, which is just a few cracks, or Rabbi Yehuda's Chometz Gomor, which is Siddiq, which is the many cracks, both of those, according to Reb Meir, Ha'oich Lechayev Koros gets Koros, because according to Reb Meir, there's no difference between a few cracks and many cracks. Once it starts cracking, it's Chometz Gomor. The stage before that, when the surface of the dough became pale, that's where, according to Reb Meir, it's called Seir, and you're not Chayev Koros. Omar Rava, my Talmud Reb Meir. Rava asked, why does Reb Meir actually say that when you have just a few cracks on the surface, that it's actually called Chometz Gomor and you're Chayev Koros? Answers the Gemara, Ein nechokol sedek v'sedek milimalo, she'ein nekamas doki milimato. That intrinsically Reb Meir would agree to Reb Yehuda that only when there are many cracks, it's Chometz Gomor. However, he says that you're only seeing what's on the surface. I, Reb Meir, am assuming, and I'm taking on that since that a few cracks on the surface, there may well be many cracks below the surface. Therefore, says Reb Meir, if there's just a few cracks on top, we assume it's Chometz Gomor, and somebody who eats it is going to be Chayev Koros. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.